Today's reading is from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 through 21. Please turn to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 through 21 in your Bibles or in the Bibles provided to you in the chairs above you or in front of you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You may be seated, and the children may go back to children's church.
There is a call to ministry, a call to the ministry of reconciliation for the work of the Lord. There is a call to ministry and truth for even those who don't believe in God. There is work to be done in this land. But I believe especially the Lord's people should be about his business and his ministry of reconciliation. Sam and Pearl Olliner are two professors at the University of California State in Humboldt, California. And they wrote a book called The Altruistic Personality. Altruistic about those who reach out and help others and give to others. They are Jewish, they are secular Jews. And they were interviewed by an Orthodox Jew named Dennis Prager. And the question came up about, who would you look to from help if Jewish persecution were to break out again? Now, we like to think that we are culturally evolved, that we've come so far, and such a thing as the Holocaust in the 1940s of Europe. 6 million Jews killed by the Nazi Party. Stalin, 18 million killed. Mao Zedong, the numbers are 50 to 60 to 70 million. We like to think that those days will never happen again. However, I think the Ollingers would tell you they disagree. And scripturally, we know that the depravity of man should never be forgotten. So Dennis Prager asked them both, if you were Jewish, where would you go? And they used the reference of Poland, because that's where they were from. If you were in Poland and you were Jewish, and you knew such a thing as the Holocaust was coming again, where would you go? To a Polish lawyer? A Polish doctor, a Polish artist, or a Polish priest? And this would be beyond Poland. So a lawyer, a doctor, an artist, or a priest. These two secular Jews said without hesitation, a priest. Pearl said, a nun. Now, I'm not Catholic. I've never been Catholic. Some people think Catholics aren't Christians. I think many are, just like whether you're Baptist or Presbyterian, it doesn't really matter. But think about what these two secular Jews said, where they would go. They understand that as Christians, we have a ministry of reconciliation. We have an ethical call because of Jesus Christ. And we should respond, and we are called to respond. And their view is that we have and we will respond. That is a powerful statement from two secular Jews. My prayer is that we would live up to that confidence. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we study your word of new life and ministries of reconciliation,
We see what these two individuals think of believers. Catholic, I'd say, whether Catholic or Protestant. Lord, let us be believers who would live up to your word, to their hope that they have in us. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning back in verse 11, the Apostle Paul writes to that church in Corinth, "Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we also try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope also what is plain to your conscience." Again, this word fear pops up throughout the Old and New Testament. Our world and our culture, our society does not like that word. Words have many meanings. We immediately go to the negative, something fearful and ugly, but there is also a healthy fear. Ask an electrician, and they will give you a healthy fear of electricity. They treat it with respect. They know how powerful it is. When I used to do some job before you could work on the 220-volt equipment, fryers and grills, you would have to have a lock box on the circuit breaker, because you would turn the circuit off and you would lock it so no one could, by accident, I'm going to lost the word today, turn the power back on. That is due to a heavy respect and fear of the power of electricity. And we are called to have so much more for our God, that He is the all-powerful God and creator of our universe, and we have fear. And he goes, we try to persuade others what is plain to God. And Paul, throughout this book of 2 Corinthians, says what is plain is that we have a new life in Christ. We are transformed. We are changed. Our lives should be different after we are Christians than before. If we are Christians from a young age, or were Christians after a major transformation later in life, not only should our lives be changed, they should always progressively be moving more and more in the ministry of the Holy Spirit and Christ's likeness. And he goes on in verse 12, not that we're trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so we can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. I think what I see here is a man is working with a broken relationship with his church in Corinth. Things have been difficult. Hence, he uses words like a ministry of reconciliation. And he's trying to give them an opportunity to work with them. And again, not that those who take a short-term view, but an eternal view of what is in Christ. What we don't always see, but what is in the heart. And because of this, he goes, sometimes people think we're crazy. In verse 13, if we are out of our minds, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. Why would he say this? People think they're out of their mind. But he's trying to do what's right before them. Back in that Roman world, a very patristic world, a word that was very patriarchal. Excuse me, not patristic. Very patriarchal. Very male, man-centered. The Romans said of the church, my, what women you have. The church was known for breaking boundaries between the rich and the poor and the male and female. They're also known as cannibals because during our communion that we'll take today, they would use the words, we're eating the body and the blood of Christ. And Romans took that in such a woodenly literal sense, they considered them cannibals. And hence they were crazy. They were considered crazy by their surrounding world. Now, we have lived in a world, the last century, the 20th century, that Christianity was considered normative. Now, many people consider our views abnormal, strange, politically incorrect, hateful, mean-spirited. We are considered crazy. When 9/11 happened in 2001, Congress, whether you believe them or not, saying God bless America. Today, if such a tragedy would happen, I would dare say only half of Congress would join in and the other half would probably walk out. To speak of God's blessing is considered crazy. But yet, in verse 14, Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. We're not crazy. Well, we are. But because of this craziness and the belief of God's power, we are compelled. Compelled. It is within our nature to have a ministry of reconciliation. It should be in our nature that secular Jews, the Ullingers, would come to us for help. We should be compelled to follow through with that. Because of Christ's saving grace in verse 15, and He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and for them and was raised again. We should be living for Christ as Christ died for us. Many Christians, priests, Catholics, Protestants, Lutherans were willing to take in Jews because of the Christ-like sacrifice that was demonstrated to them. If the Gestapo, the Secret Service, the KGB came looking for us, would they know we are Christians by our life? Would we stand out? Would it be obvious who we are and what we would do? Take another shameless plug for Jim's class, the Entrepreneurial Mindset, which I'd recommend for anyone. It's not just for entrepreneurs in business, because it is a mindset for life. We talked about brand. Now, I am not a hip Christian. I don't wear skinny jeans or skinny pants. My wife's had me buy some so I can be hip. You know, I don't wear the dirty jeans, the dragon jeans. You know, my jacket's kind of old. It's hard to be hip. It costs so much money and it changes every year. So I don't want to have a brand. That sounds like such a hip culture, so secular. But let me tell you something. We all have a brand. Our church has a brand. You individually have a brand. Because what a brand is, it's what you say about your Christianity, about yourself, about your values. I'm a Christian. You're saying something. I'm not a Christian. I'm a Christian who believes we should read the Bible. And so it's what you say. We as a church, we say, worship the living God, make disciples. And then the brand goes another step further, what you do. Do your actions match your words? That's your brand. Is our Christian brand so recognizable that people say, yeah, I know they're a Christian? If you want to go looking for Christians, go look for them. Would we be found guilty? So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. We as Christians should not take a worldly view. We should take an eternal view. And let's face it, everyone wants a fresh start. How many of you have no regrets in your life? Have certain memories, or if certain friends were to come up and say, remember when, you'd probably put your head down like, well, I'd rather forget. We all want a fresh start. And Christ offers us this. I can tell you that when I became a Christian, things changed. I was young. I was in late elementary, middle, high school, and I waffled and I changed, but I knew things had changed, but they should change more. And I was struggling. And when I truly committed to my life, made a really strong commitment where I believe God literally held out His hands and said, choose. And I chose the life of Christ. My life took a totally different trajectory. Things changed. My career plans changed. Where I would move changed. Everything changed. I was new in Christ. And some of the things that I had intentions of doing weren't necessarily evil or sin. Many of them were, but they changed and they left. But even my own plans that I had for my life, good plans, smart plans, they changed. The trajectory of my life changed. There was a new life when I committed to Him. The Proverbs say, commit your ways to the Lord, and He will direct your path. And He directed my path. In some ways, in some things that I didn't always like or agree with at the time. But there was an obedience to His ministry. And in verse 18, all this is from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ Jesus in a ministry of reconciliation. to resolve to bring harmony between us and God. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. The one point I would make in this verse is, as God has brought reconciliation and harmony between us and him, we should do for each other. The church is often crippled and hurt because of unforgiveness and hurts towards each other. We should look in the mirror before we look at the hearts of others and look at how God has forgiven us, look at our own weaknesses and sin and our own idiosyncratic behavior, our own strangeness before we complain about others, because we are to be reconciled. Paul was looking for reconciliation with his church. They had been at odds. Talk of a painful letter. There have been hurts. Ministry hurts. Things don't always work out right. It's difficult. It's hard. And next week's sermon will even be about more of the difficulties that Paul had to go through. So we are to be gracious to each other with the same grace that Christ has given us. To reconcile ourselves to others with the same reconciliation ministry that Christ has brought to us. We therefore are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled with God. When we are reconciled, we get a new job. We're an ambassador. An ambassador leaves what is comfortable and goes to the new country. As Christians, we are called to go out into the world and not simply remain in our church. And we must know where we come from. An ambassador that does not love their own country has no business leaving and going out to be an ambassador in another country. An ambassador that goes to another country must learn where they are going, must learn to love it, must learn to work with it, must learn who they are dealing with in order to correctly and profoundly represent the country they have come from. They may need to learn a new language, a new culture, not that they forget their own, but they do what's called cross-contextualization. They take what they know and have, but put it in the language and the customs of the people of where they go. I went to a school that there was a lot of teetotalers. I mean, like, no alcohol. Kids could say, adults could say, alcohol's never touched my lips. And I had a professor say, if you want to be a missionary in France, you better learn to drink wine. Period. No ifs, ands, or buts. Because if you're a teetotaling Christian, they just ain't going to get it. I'm sorry. I'm not asking to be a drunk, but you better learn to drink wine. Because that's just normative. And you'll probably never get anywhere. I'm not trying to sell wine. I'm not big into the French wine industry or the California wine industry. That's just a fact of life. It's not an endorsement to drink wine either. You're not in France. But you get what he's saying. Because wine's not a sin. Getting drunk is. But he was challenging them. Or if you want to be an ambassador, count the cost. Know what you're doing. You have to understand the people we are going to. We are called to not avoid unbelievers, the unchurched, rather to get to know them, work with them, know what makes them tick, know how to reach them. Let's face it. If a guy's a mechanic versus if a guy's a CPA, as you witness them, you're going to probably talk different. Approach him differently. Because God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Because Christ died for us, we are called to die for others. To consider others more highly than ourselves. This is a ministry of reconciliation. This is a ministry that takes a new life. The old life wants to do what's best for Doug Bund. Amen. The new life in Christ says, I want to do what's best for the kingdom of God. Amen. Are we living for ourselves? If the Gestapo or the KGB came to us, would they say, I can see that you're living more for the kingdom of God than the kingdom of self? If the Ullingers came to your door and knocked, would you be the lawyer? the doctor, the artist, or would you be the priest? I have no answer until that moment comes, because to take a Jew into your house was to risk your life, your livelihood, and the livelihood of your children. It was a dangerous proposition. But when you live in the ministry of reconciliation, when you have a new life in Christ, we are called to think different and to honor one another above ourselves, to think more highly of one another than ourselves, to think about the ministry of Christ and what He's given to us. I pray that day never comes. But I know in my heart where my heart needs to be. And I need to be renewed in Christ every day. So if that question ever comes up, I can say, yes, Lord, I choose You. I choose a new life in Christ. And therefore, I will choose others first. Let us bow our head in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before You, Lord, let these words take heart. They're challenging words. Lord, let us be reconciled in Christ. Reconciled with each other. Lord, where there are hurts and grievances, Lord, let us be willing to forgive. Not accepting abuse, Lord, but forgiving others, knowing that You have forgiven us. Not because they're perfect, but because we're called to a ministry of reconciliation. Lord, let us always live the new life we have in You. Not going back to the old ways, but living in You. Amen.